just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal Ask question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Hey, if you have a legal question of any type, give us a call. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Your question can be about wills, trust, probate, family law, personal injury, real estate law, just about any type of question you have. Hey, if I can help you, I will. That's why I'm here. If I don't know the answer to your question, hey, I quickly tell you I don't know. There's no sense pretending I give you false information or get you down the wrong track. We're solely here to help you. If I can help you, I'll let you know. If I don't know, I tell you I don't know, but I find resources for you and give you some direction. Hey, today let's add reverse mortgages to the topic of things we could talk about. I know some people have bad thoughts about reverse mortgages. I think that's pretty much in the past, though. I think there's some very good reasons to do a reverse mortgage. If you have a question or concern about a reverse mortgage, give us a call. One of my favorite stories about reverse mortgages is a fairly wealthy guy wanted to had his home all paid off, needed $500,000 for an RV, didn't want to be making payments on an RV as he traveled around the country, so he got $500,000 in a reverse mortgage out of his home, paid cash, and traveling around. There are many other clients, though, that need reverse mortgages that just don't quite have enough income to survive every month. And getting a reverse mortgage sometimes can make their life easy. Hey, if you have a question about reverse mortgages, give us a call, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Gene in Lakeland, our first caller. Hey, Gene.
How long do you have to file a suit against the doctor for malpractice?
Okay, can you tell me a little bit about what happened?
Yes, I had a growth on the cornea. He took the growth off, and it's watered and just has never been right, and now I'm losing sight in that eye.
And how long ago did this happen?
Almost 3 years.
Yeah. Hey, the question is a little tricky because statute of limitations starts to run as to when you knew there was a problem. So I have a medical malpractice attorney. I'd love to give you the number for that you could call directly and get a good answer to your question and discuss the facts, individual facts of the case.
Okay.
You can either email me or call me at the office to get that information.
Okay. All right.
Which would you prefer?
How about email?
Okay, great. So here's what I want you to email me, asking me from the medical malpractice attorney to give you a call and give me your phone number and permission for me to send him your email.
Okay.
You do that to Joe, J-O-E.
Okay.
At A-T-T-Y.
Okay.
P-I-P.com.
P-I-P.com.
You got
okay.
it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Gene.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. Again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. If you have a legal question of any type, if I can help you, doesn't even have to be a legal problem. It just could be a problem you're dealing with. We'd love to help you. All you have to do is to dial the toll-free number, 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. 9673. Phone lines are open. Let's go to Bob in Seminole.
Yes. Hello?
Hey, Bob.
Hi. I had a question regarding a living trust. In fact, it's one that you had prepared for me and my wife about a year ago.
Okay, great.
In the quit claim deed to transfer the home to the living trust was made out but was not filed. Is there any reason why that should be delayed until one of us passes away, or what's the story with that?
Well, the deal is that you and the trust are the same entity.
Right.
If you were selling your home to me, of course, I'd want a deed recorded showing I was the owner. But when you're doing a deed to your own trust, it's not necessarily necessary to follow the deed. And what a lot of my clients do is the deed has to be recorded sooner or later, but if you sold it, it'd probably be easier to sell it individually than through the trust. So basically what I tell clients to do is you don't have to record this deed now. If you pass away, your first successor, trustee, and personal representative of the will would come see an attorney. And if they came to see me, that would be great. And what I would do would be to file the will and record the deed at that time. And the simple explanation is it's not a transfer to a different person. You and the trust are the same person, same entity, same tax number, and it's just not necessarily, absolutely necessary to record it at this time. However, if you wanted to record the deed at this time, you could. You could bring it back to my office, and I'd send it in for recording for it if you like.
Yeah. The only advantage, then, to not doing that is that it would make it easier to sell if we should decide to sell the home. Is that correct?
If you decide to sell the home, you just sell it individually, tear up the quitclaim deed.
Right. So that, but that, my question was there any advantage to delaying that transfer? And what I understood was you said that it would make it easier to sell.
Yes.
Is that what I understood?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, because the title company is going to want a copy of the trust. They're going to maybe want a statement of the powers of the trustee.
Mm-hmm.
You can just easily sell it yourself as an individual.
Okay. Okay. But then when
so it's in the trust, but not a public record is the way to express it, I think.
Okay. All right. But when the first of the co-trustees passes away, then would be the time to transfer it?
If one of the first of the grantors, you and your wife, one of you pass away, then the other would usually come into the office and do an amendment to the trust. A lot of times it will redo the deed to just show it's an individual personnel that owns the property.
Mm-hmm.
And go from there. And then you do a new power of attorney to someone else.
Okay. Okay. Very good.
All right.
So if I want to get to transfer that now right away, I just get in touch with your office?
Yeah, you could bring the deed to me and we'd record it for you.
Okay. I would need the deed?
The quitclaim deed that I prepared.
Okay. All right. I think, okay. All right. Very good.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The phone lines are open if you have a legal question. 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. You're listening on multiple stations all over the state of Florida. You're listening on 570-910, 860-930, coming out of Tampa today. That's where we're broadcasting from. You're listening to a community FM station in Sun City Center. You might be listening in Crystal River. You might be listening on 90.3 FM coming out of Central Florida. You might be listening on 600 The Answer coming out of Jacksonville. No matter where you're listening, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. Also today, we're going to have a little side topic about reverse mortgages. If you have a concern about those or a question about how those work. You know, a lot of people think, they'll tell me, well, I don't want a reverse mortgage because I understand when I die, I don't own the property's gone. That's absolutely false. The equity in your property is still in your estate. Can you have a reverse mortgage and still put your property in the living trust? Yes. No restrictions there. Your trustee would then, if you passed away, sell the property, take the equity, divide it amongst your heirs. So a lot of myths out there about reverse mortgages. If you have any questions about those, as well as any other question you might have, it's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Para in Jacksonville.
Hello?
Hello. What's your name?
My name is Tara.
Okay. What can I do for you?
Well, I got divorced in 2009, and I quitclaimed my, the home over to my ex-husband now. And now I find out that it's not worth the toilet paper it was written on, because now he's gone in default, and I find out he's $9,000 behind, and my name is on that note.
Okay, you can quit claim deed your house, but you could still be on the mortgage.
Well,
so the problem is, okay, yeah. So here's the deal. Did the court require the divorce to for him to refinance the house?
That's what I thought he did, but he never did it.
Okay, were you represented by an attorney yourself?
No.
Well, that's...
He was.
All right. Well, see, here's the deal. You can get divorced, you can have a deal of who gets the real estate, but it'd be foolish to do a quitclaim deed until the property's refinancing had proof of that.
Yes, I do have proof of that. But now it's...
Well, no, you don't have proof that he refinanced it because...
No, he never did. No.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You don't have proof of that.
No.
So now you're stuck. You can probably file some action against him, but the mortgage company is going to come against you because you're still on the mortgage.
Yes, I've talked to them directly. And they say, actually, I'm first on the note. I don't know how that happened, but it did.
Well, the order of the names doesn't necessarily mean anything, but... So both names aren't there, you both are liable.
Yes. So he's almost $10,000 behind, and it's gonna go into foreclosure. But you know, once it sells and forecloses and everything, there'll be money made. Will I get half of that money?
Does what does the divorce decree say?
It says that I gave up the house, but apparently.
Well, if you gave up the house, you already deeded it to him.
But I
doubt you're going to... Somebody would have to review all this, but I doubt you're going to get anything. If you... The divorce says that you have to deed it to him, and you deed it to him.
I already did that.
You did that. So you're not going to get it. You're not going to get half.
So, but my name's still on the note.
Well, that's a liability.
He's ruining my credit is what's happening.
Well, I know, but naming on the note is a liability. It's not an asset that you own.
That's very... Not very nice.
No,
the,
I agree.
But you very,
should, I don't know. It's hard to look back and really give you advice, so I really don't want to do that. But if you'd had an attorney, most of this probably you'd been a little better position.
I never had an attorney. It was a very bad situation. It was very abusive.
Yeah.
And I just ran, and I just signed, and I just left.
Well, you're not gonna, if the house sells and there's equity in there... You
and
know,
my name's on the note, so why can't I get half of that?
Because the note's a liability, not an asset.
Oh.
All right. I'm sorry. All right. Let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Kenny in Jacksonville.
Yes. I had a blood test here about a year ago, and they found some blood in my urine, so they went to, I believe it's a urologist, whatever. They did a test where they put a rod through my penis. And worst test I've ever had. But I've had problems ever since. And I wanted to know.
You want to know if they committed malpractice during the procedure?
What is my, yes.
You want to know if they committed malpractice during the procedure? Is that your question?
Basically.
All right, Kenny, if you email me, I can, again, like our first caller, I can give you the name of a personal injury attorney. You can discuss the details of your case, and they can determine whether or not you have a case. The personal injury attorneys, in my experience, don't take cases unless they're good cases they're going to win.
Correct.
So a personal injury law firm will analyze your fact pattern and decide whether to take the case. If they decide to take your case, you've got a good chance of winning. If they don't accept your case, you could try someone else. But if you get a couple of rejections on even taking the case, then you probably don't have a case.
All right.
All right. But if you want to email me, I'll be glad to give you a name to talk to.
All right. Will do.
All right. Thank you. Email address is Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. Phone lines are open on Ask an Attorney. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, host of Ask an Attorney. Been broadcasting Ask an Attorney for 34 consecutive years. Every week somewhere I've gone into a radio station, usually multiple stations during a week, and broadcast the show. If you have a legal question, 877-943-9673. I'm going to talk to Maureen in Ponte Vedra Beach, and then I'm going to give you the information on how you can get our estate planning poster sheet. Let's go to Maureen.
Hello, Joe. How are you this morning?
Great. I won't tell you how our producer spelt Pontevedra.
Okay. But. I know. Everybody gets it wrong. It means old bridge in Spanish.
Old bridge.
Uh-huh.
We come to Pontevedra every couple of weeks, and I have an office there and love the area. So
I didn't know that. Whereabouts?
Well, actually, we stay at the lodge in Pontevedra.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And that's where we stay.
Okay, that's lovely.
Yep.
A question I have is about a bill from my doctor's office. I went in there for a Prolia shot, and it's for osteoporosis. And they told me it's very expensive, and my doctor said I qualified for it. But he said they have a Prolia club that's called Prolia Plus, and you join it, and it only costs $25 for the injection. Well, I went and I got it, and I looked online under Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and they charged me $250.
But you joined a special club where you could get it for $25?
Correct. And so when I went in to get the shot, they tried to charge me the copay at the desk. And I said, well, when they called me, they said it was only $25. I wouldn't be seeing the doctor. And so I told the girl we had at the desk. And so then I called the billing, and they said, did you see the doctor? And I said, no, I saw the nurse. So they said, well, then it's just the $25. So then I looked online, and I called Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and they said, well, you're responsible for it. You should have called us. Well, I thought it was just a club. I didn't think it was going through the insurance. And a girlfriend of mine goes to another doctor, and she gets it for nothing through a grant. So I had no idea this was going to happen.
Well, I think all you can probably do at this point is spell all this out in written form.
Uh-huh.
And mail a copy of your complaint, more or less, and reason you're not going to pay it. That's the way I would start, anyway. You're not going to pay it because, and then outline all of your reasons and see what kind of response you get back.
Now, should I do this to the doctor's office or to the insurance company?
Well, I would do it to maybe both.
Okay.
Yeah, do it to the doctor's office with a copy to the insurance company.
Okay. Yeah, when I talked to the insurance company, I asked them if I could appeal it or if they would send me an appeal form, and they said they would, but they said I was going to have to pay it. So I guess I should fill out the appeals form and then send a copy of that to the doctor's office and then write the letter to the doctor's office and say, I don't even know the doctor.
Did the doctor's office bill the club you joined?
I don't know, to tell you the truth.
And did you have any confirmation from this was the doctor that recommended this club?
Yes.
Well, hey, spell all that out in the letter. The doctor recommended the club, you joined the club, you was told this and you were told that, and just spell it all out in the letter. And then let's see what happens from there.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Ruth in Tampa.
Hello?
Hey, Ruth.
Yes. I have my 13-year-old grandson. His mother notarized him over to me. And I'd like to know, how could I get him on my Social Security? I needed to file it with the courts, but I don't know how to file it.
All right, so are you going to adopt the grandchild?
Well, I just have him legally from her notarization, so I don't know.
Well, that's okay, but that's not like a formal adoption, or that's not even a formal guardianship.
Oh, it's not?
No.
So what do I need to do?
Well, I don't know. There might be a way that's not exactly my scope of my practice on how to get someone become a legal dependent of yours on Social Security. So you might have to call the Social Security office or talk to a Social Security attorney.
Well, I did talk to somebody once. Going down, they told me I needed a number. It needed to be filed through the courts.
Yeah, that's a guardianship. So you've got the consent of the parents, so the guardianship should be fairly easy, but you're going to need a guardianship. That was my first thought. You're going to need a guardianship attorney to file the appropriate papers to make you the legal guardian of the child. And with the parents' consent, that should be fairly easy.
So I have to have someone to file the papers.
To become the legal guardian, yes.
You know how much that price probably is?
Well, you're going to need to call. If you want to call me, I can tell you how to find a guardianship attorney in your area that can help you. And then you call a couple and just get some quotes.
Okay. All right. We'll add this same number later.
No. If you want to, do you have access to email?
No.
All right. The toll-free, the number at the office since you're in Tampa is 727-586-3306.
Okay. All right.
An extension 200.
Okay.
All right. If you would like our free estate planning poster sheet, it's a large, very large, it's a poster-sized sheet, five estate planning articles on one side of it. Fully discusses your options in estate planning. If you already have an estate plan, you can compare your plan against the other options on the form. On the back side of the sheet has our website, attorneys, radio shows, lots of information on office addresses. 20-some offices in Florida have all the local addresses on the back of the sheet, with along with the local phone numbers. If you're listening to the show in Florida, there we probably have an office. We have offices. Several offices in Pinellas, Polk, Hillsboro, Manatee. We have offices in Davenport, Leesburg, the Claremont. We have offices up and down the East Coast from Daytona to Jacksonville. So we don't charge for a first office appointment. If you'd like this free estate planning poster sheet with lots of estate planning information and office information, you can get it one of three ways. You can call our toll-free office number, 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. You can text me your name and address and request the poster sheet and or an appointment. You can text 727-667-3967. All right, let's go to Carol in Sarasota.
Hi. My husband has vascular dementia, and 2 weeks ago yesterday, he, over something silly, attacked me. I ended up with a bloody nose. My doctor had instructed me months ago that if he ever hurts me, because his anger level has been escalating, I should call the police, mm-hmm. and they will come and take him to a hospital for evaluation. That is what happened, and they Baker Acted him. While in the hospital, in the emergency room, he had attacked the doctor, the emergency room doctor, and they ended up having to sedate him heavily. Fast forwarding, he's been in the hospital ever since, and they have been sedating him whenever a nurse or anyone else tried to do something for him. He would get combative. He's very confused right now, and has been. My question to you is this. The hospital really wants him out of there, and he has to go to a nursing home with a memory care unit. What I want to know now is, if he is accepted by a facility that is not told that he was Baker Acted, I'm being told by the hospital to tell whatever facilities I go to that he's in there for pneumonia, which he did develop in the hospital, and he has dementia, and not say anything about the Baker Act. I have one last facility I spoke to, and I don't even know if they're going to accept him or not. But my question is this. If they do accept him and he acts up in the facility, what happens there? Can they kick him out?
Well, send him sure. Back?
Yes, but could they?
Well, you need to
home.
Get him in a lockdown facility.
I understand. Those are the only ones that we're looking at.
Right.
But if he is accepted and he does act out there, then what happens? If he hurts someone, if he hits someone, he kicks someone.
Well, I think there should be full disclosure on what's going on with him. And they will. I don't know the proper medical term. They'll tie him down so he can't. I mean, his arms will be tied to the bed, basically. He won't be able to move. He'll be a belt across his chest. Yeah. Yeah, he'll be restrained. He'll be restrained. So the chances, if he attacks and hurts somebody in there, it'll be the facility's fault, because you should be fully aware of what's going on with him.
All right. Now, I did ask the hospital, is he the facility going to know that he was Baker Act? She said, well, it's in his record,
yeah.
But it has been lifted. He's not still under the Baker Act. It was lifted during these past 2 weeks. At one point, there was a suggestion by my own doctor, different county, and has stepped out of this completely. He's in Sarasota County. This hospital is in Manatee County. It was his suggestion after he found out that he had been in the hospital at that time about 5 days, and they were just drugging him to keep him calm, that he should be sent to a psychiatric hospital for evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
We tried to do that. The psychiatric hospital in Sarasota rejected it because he has dementia and considers him not a psychiatric person.
Mm-hmm.
He's a dementia person. They wouldn't even accept him. So now I've made a full circle that if this latest facility will not accept him, how long can the hospital hang on to him?
Well, I don't think the hospital is going to release him to society. So I think the hospital will work with you to try to find a place for him.
They gave me a list of places to look at, which I've done.
Well, you go in and give them a report of your progress. And see,
I have.
And what have they given you, a deadline to get him out of there?
No, that's my question.
Yeah.
Well, is there a deadline?
Yeah, I don't think I would even ask that question until it comes up.
Oh, you mean ask the question of the hospital?
Yeah, what's the when are you going to make me... Don't kick a sleeping dog. Just let him stay there until you... Just keep showing them your effort on trying to find him a place.
Okay, what I have also done is given the living will, and I'm his surrogate, and I did say that I do not want any feeding tubes, mm-hmm, or any artificial means to keep him alive.
Right.
He is 83 years old, in very poor health, and now he's totally losing his mind.
Right.
So it didn't make sense to me that someone in that condition should be having a feeding tube or anything like that. And just yesterday in the hospital, they said, well, then maybe you want hospice. I mean,
Well, hospice has to accept him, too. There, he has to meet certain qualifications of hospice. Carol, is he going to be on Medicaid if you do find a facility for him?
I was going to do private pay because this last facility that I'm hoping that will accept him will not accept Medicaid. It has to be private pay. In general, I was going to do Medicaid, with the...
Well, listen, here's what I would... under those circumstances, I would get him in whatever facility you can.
Yeah.
And then we have a full-time Medicaid attorney, so once you get him accepted to a facility... probably good to have a free conversation with my Medicaid attorney to discuss how we get him on Medicaid from that point.
Because
once the facility accepts him, they might have to accept Medicaid once he's accepted, no matter what, irregardless of the planning we might do to move assets around a little bit.
Even this current one, if they accept him?
Yes.
Although I'm willing to do a private pay here.
Well, I think it'd just be worthy. I think it'd be worth your while to have a discussion once you get him in a facility. What options you have concerning, mm-hmm, private pay versus Medicaid,
okay,
if any? There might not be any, but there might be some way we could keep him at the facility and still get him on Medicaid.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that somewhere he's going to fall through the cracks and end up coming back to me at home. And I've been told by just about everybody that
I don't think he's going to be released under the circumstances.
Okay.
All right.
Yes, thank you very much.
All right, Carol. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, All About Florida Law. Again, I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The phone lines are open again at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. If you have a legal question, it can be just about anything. Wills, trust, probate, guardianship, power of attorneys, healthcare service. Today, kind of threw in reverse mortgages. Is anybody out there interested in a reverse mortgage and you have some questions about that? Hey, give us a call. Be glad to tell you what we know and get you pointed in the right direction on that. A lot of our questions in between calls are about estate planning. And what are some of the concerns? I was listening to a discussion with one of my other attorneys who has a radio show on a different station about deeds and some of the problems with deeds. And just like our previous caller here about the divorce and the mortgage and the deed, the ownership of real estate and how it's titled is very, very important. If you, one of our other calls had questions about whether their quitclaim deed to their trust should be recorded. Everything, all of the assets you own are totally controlled by how they're titled. And titling is very important. On deeds, the magic words behind your name are very important. If two people own a property, if there are no magic words, just two names, then that's tenants in common. If it says jointly with right of survivorship and one dies, it all goes to the other. If you quit claim deed a property, but they're subject to a mortgage, hey, you're still liable on the mortgage. If you die with property and tenants in common, no right of survivorship language, then when you die, it goes through probate. What is probate? Probate is just the legal process of getting assets out of a deceased person's name. So if you have any questions about ownership, you know, also, I have clients all the time who come in, and let's say they have a will that leaves everything to their three daughters. Along the way, they have put all of their assets jointly with one daughter. And they're thinking the will still has some control over that and will go equally to the three children. Hey, well, guess what? It doesn't. Jointly held property goes to the survivor regardless of what a will says. And you, why would you put someone's name on a bank account? Well, you wanted to avoid probate. You avoided probate, but you defeated what the overall estate plan has done. Let's give out the numbers, and then I do have a guest in studio. I'm going to ask a few questions about reverse mortgages, Lon. So if you have a legal question, phone lines are open. It can be about anything, wills, trust, probate, personal injury, real estate. 877 is the toll-free number, 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. Phone lines are open. All right, let's talk about it. I got a call coming in, but I do have a guest in studio today that is sitting here, and his name is Michael Banner. And Michael specializes, has a company that does reverse mortgages. And that's why I was going to see if I could get a question about reverse mortgages. But let's talk a little bit about Michael. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Ask an Attorney.
Thank you very much, Joe. Pleasure to be here.
So you've heard me talk about reverse mortgages a little bit this morning and some of the... Well, reverse mortgages had a bad name for a while.
About three decades, yeah, if you define a while. Yeah, it still has a gray cloud over it. But over the last 5 to 7 years, HUD, you know, this is an FHA product and insured by FHA, has literally several times ripped apart the reverse mortgage, put it back together. And quite frankly, today's reverse mortgage is probably one of the safest retirement planning tools in the country. But as you know, it's hard to overcome a few decades of a bad reputation.
One of the big bad tags on reverse mortgages was the cost of them.
Yes.
So that's all changed somewhat, right?
The cost has gone down considerably. I mean, I think people projected or put it out there the wrong way. The cost of a reverse mortgage is very comparable to the cost of another government-insured loan. So if you compare it to an FHA loan for one of our children, if you compare it to a VA loan for one of our great veterans, it's highly competitive. Now, if you compare it to a 20% down payment on a Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac loan, no, it's more expensive than that. But, you know, it's comparing apples and oranges.
All right, so there's an age requirement on reverse mortgages.
At least one of the borrowers in a married couple has to be 62. That's changed, too. They both used to have to be 62. Now only one has to be 62.
And if the older one that's 62 or older dies and the one left is not 62, they get to keep the mortgage?
They get to stay in the home for the rest of their lives without an obligation of a monthly principal and interest payment, which is pretty staggering considering, you know, the man, as you know, in your profession usually goes years first.
What would be the average interest rate on a reverse mortgage?
If you take an adjustable and you deal with a creditable reverse mortgage professional, that rate could be anywhere from the threes to the fours. And recently, fixed rates went up in the whole world, as everybody knows, the last year. You're looking at a fixed rate also in the high fours. So highly competitive, not like years ago.
All right. You have a question about reverse mortgages? I'm going to continue asking an attorney all about Florida law, and you can ask questions about anything. But as you can tell, we have an expert about reverse mortgages in studio. So if you want to take advantage of that, call the number 877-943-9673. Let's go to Jim in Jacksonville.
Hi, good morning. Yes, my question is not about reverse mortgages. It's about, I guess, valuing a vacation home in a probate situation. It's a little bit complicated. My parents, who are both deceased, owned a vacation home with two of my brothers. So each of them owned a third.
Mm-hmm.
There are six siblings total, so two of them are involved in this. And in the will, it was said that the two brothers that own the home would buy out the four remaining people. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't have to, though. I mean, you can't dictate somebody has to buy something in a...
Well, that's what the trust says. Is that legit?
Well, I think no, they can't enforce. I don't think they can enforce a clause in a trust that says, you know, one of the heirs must buy out the others. Usually, well, the language I put in there is they have first option to buy.
Okay. Can they force me to sell then?
No.
Okay.
Well, they'll force you to sell. Okay. Well, what's your role? Are you the trustee?
No, I'm one of the four affected siblings.
So basically, you wind up with a portion of the one third.
Correct, which is about 6%. Let's call it.
Okay, and does it? Okay, so does the language direct that the trustee sell to the two heirs?
To the it's
the ones that already own it. Okay. Well, yeah, the document needs to be reviewed. So let's just assume for a second the trust says the trustee must sell to the two that already own a portion of it. So then the only question would be how you determine a fair price. So you just get two appraisals and take an average, and if the trustee must sell it to them, they would sell it at that price.
Okay, then you answered my question. Here's what the rub is. Two appraisals were done, one for $715,000, one for $750,000. Originally, they were going to do it right in the middle, 732.5 for the valuation. But the personal representative, one of the brothers who owns the house, mm-hmm. has decided he is going to buy it from the other brother at 675.
No, the trustee, whoever is in charge, would not be a prudent trustee. And the action could be taken against them if they don't use the average of the two, I would say.
Okay, because the estate lawyer said that he was fine with that, and I explained to him a lot of things. I mean, first of all,
the estate attorney. Hey, listen, the estate attorney is not representing you, so in this case, you just need your own attorney to fight that. And there's no sense fighting City Hall when everybody's already sacked against you and already decided what they're going to do. So my standard answer to this is: if you've done everything you can do and you don't have a good result, then it's time for you to get some help. To be your
advocate. Well, I am suing him in small claims court.
Well, that's only up to $5,000, though.
That's about what my portion is going to be if the house is valued properly, because it's divided six ways.
Okay, well, there you go. That should get their attention.
All right, well, we've already been to one small claims meeting, and it is now set for a status update at the end of August.
All right. Well, all right. I think just hang in there. Maybe they'll settle up with you.
Okay. Do we have any control over what the personal representative takes as a fee for the good work that he's done?
Well, there's recommended statute guidelines on personal representatives, so that's usually around the 3% area. So if they're going to exceed that, you could file an objection to the fee in the probate court and have a hearing on that.
He's not exceeding it. He was going to take a certain amount, and then he almost tripled it, although he is still under that 3%. So we have – is that a losing situation?
Yeah, I would probably think so, because you can go by statute pretty much. As long as they're under the statute fee, you're they would probably win.
Okay. All right. So win one, lose one, it looks like.
All right. Well, Jim, good luck.
Hey, thanks a million. Bye-bye.
Let's go to David in St. Pete.
Yes, hello. You've done all our estate planning documents, and we've just moved into a continuous care facility. And I guess we need to come and see you to update all our documents. Is that correct?
Well, maybe yes, maybe no. Now, I send letters every 3 or 4 years suggesting you come anyway and update your power of attorney living wills. So if it's been more than 3 or 4 years, definitely come in. If you have a trust I call a bucket. So you have the rest of your life to put things in, take things out. Just because you sold a property doesn't mean you have to come in and change the trust, because you put proceeds from the sale in the trust. If you want to change your trust, the most common changes are changing the trustees or changing the beneficiary somehow, but not the assets that go in and out of it.
Okay, we did get your letter, but we knew we were moving, so we're now.
Yeah,
acting.
Well, you got a letter if you've been more than 3 or 4 years to come in, so yeah, come in for an update on the power of attorneys at least.
Okay, we will do that.
All right, David.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
See you around.
All right, let's go to Angela in Lake Wales. Hey, Angela.
Hello, good morning. I just want to thank you for the good job that you're doing. But I also have a question for my grandson.
Okay.
His grandmother died, and he left my grandson a property. But she owed a lot of money because she put her. She's already.
Okay, so your grandson's mother died.
Yes.
Your daughter.
Oh no.
Okay, you're.
I am the older grandmother.
Okay. All right, so anyway, the grandson's mother died.
Yes.
But she had a lot of debt.
Yes, and she left the property to my grandson.
Was the property her homestead?
I'm not sure about that. She has in control of everything, but she being like,
okay, well, hold on.
To do.
All right, hold on. So the property, if it was the homestead, would not be subject to the creditors other than the mortgage that might be on the property. So
well,
the property, depending on the deceased mother's will or trust, were there other children?
No, there's other children, but she gave it to his grandson. She put all
okay.
the property
okay. well,
under his grandson.
If the estate is upside down, the homestead still can be left to a grandson, with the only creditor being involved is the mortgage company. So all other creditors would probably become null and void as regarding the homestead.
Okay. It means that he's going to lose his house?
Well, I don't know. I think you probably should call me off air so I can explain it in more detail and take a little more time with you trying to understand the answer.
Okay.
But the answer is if the real estate is the homestead, it can be left to the grandson, only subject to the mortgage on the homestead. If there are other creditors, then they would not apply or have any impact on the grandson getting the homestead.
But let me
give you this. My Polk County number is 863.
Okay.
422.
Just give me 1 second. I dropped my pen.
All right. 863-422-1370.
Okay, I will ask him to call you.
Okay, very good. I'll be glad to talk to him.
What time is good for him to call you?
Well, I'll just call during the week. That's my office number there in Polk County.
Okay, I also have your email.
Yeah, I'm going to give all that out in just a few minutes at the end of the show. So just keep listening.
I'm going to give it to him so he can have a better question. He's in pain still because his grandmother died last year.
Yeah, well, I'm very sorry for his loss, but thank you for calling. All right.
Thank you. Thank you for everything.
All right.
Thank you.
God
bless you.
God bless you.
Okay. Okay, thank you. Bye.
Let's go to Don in Sun City Center.
Hey, Jim and Michael. It's a reverse mortgage question.
All right,
and I try to listen.
Okay, it's Joe. It's Joe and Michael. But go ahead.
Oh, Joe. I'm sorry. You're right. It is Joe and Michael. My mom and dad had a house since 1960. Dad passed. Mom's been living in the house. I was living in South Florida. I have two brothers. They were living out of state. Nobody thought that they were going to come to the area, you know, where the house is, back in the boom, like around 2008. So mom did the reverse mortgage. Now I'm the single daughter, and I'm living with mom, and we're enjoying traveling and so forth. And, of course, I would like to buy the house we grew up in. My two brothers are married, you know.
Buy it while mother's living or buy it when mother dies?
When mom when mom dies, but my brother says they're never. First off, the house, the money was when the big boom. Let's say it was $200,000, and the houses in the area aren't going for that now. Plus, there's that money that accumulates. What do they call that, Mike?
Accrued interest. Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. And so my brother said, "Dawn, you're never going to be able to get that house. They're not going to sell it to a family member. Just forget about it. When mom passes, you're going to decide on where you're going to go, and the house will go to them." And I said, "But there must be a way that, you know, I can do it." And then how would the money be? In other words, would it be at, if are they going to take a loss, you know, if the house is on it, $200,000?
I think, hey, Dawn, I think Michael has your answer here.
Dawn, you're going to be very happy with what I tell you. A lot of misconceptions in there. Number one, the lender doesn't get the house when mom dies. If it is in her will or her trust, you get the house. The lender has nothing to do with the disposition.
But I wasn't
house.
Listed on it.
Well, it'd be according to her will or trust. Sorry.
Does she have a will or a trust now? Maybe you should go to Joe and have that updated.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, let Joe update that and get you to be the recipient
so
of the
Mike,
house.
So, Mike, the question is, suppose a house is worth
two and we
well,
owe three.
$150,000.
Yeah.
But she got the mortgage when it was $200,000, so there's $100,000 she's already taken, and the accrued interest has gone up to $150,000. So there's no equity in the house, let's say.
There's no equity, and you could be a ton upside down. And here is the good news about today's reverse mortgage. You doing as the
so I wouldn't be, you know, and I wasn't on there.
Well, no, if you're on the will or trust, the heirs get the house, though.
As long as you're on the will or the trust, you get the house. And here's the very good news. No matter how much the house is upside down, as a member of the estate, you will be able to purchase the house for 95%, not of what they owe on it, but of what it's worth today. So let me just make up numbers. The house is worth $150,000. Mom owes $300,000. She's $150,000 upside down. You would be able to purchase the house for 95% of $150,000, today's value. There's your 5% down right there. And if you have good credit, any good mortgage person would be able to get you a mortgage instantly. You are very well protected in today's reverse
mortgage. So the mortgage company gets the 95%
of today's value.
And she gets a house worth whatever, $300,000.
Well, I was dying to call you about this, and then when you said reverse mortgage, I went, oh, yahoo, today's the day.
If you'd like to call me, also not to
take too much
of Joe's time for other questions, my phone number is 727-224-3859. But as long as I think you go to Joe first and get the will and the trust in correct position, you are totally protected, and you will buy that house for 95% of what it's worth.
All right, Dawn?
That was 224, am I correct?
Yes, 727.
That's his cell number, too. Take advantage of him.
727-224-3859. You're going
to
be...
And is it anything I should try to do before mom passes? She's
91
now.
See, Joe, that's a joke.
Yeah, I'm going to ask... Dawn, just hang up and listen, because I'm going to ask them a very important question, I think, that might apply to other people as well as I close the show.
I really appreciate this, because, of course, I'm the daughter, so I cherish every little tchotchke in there, whereas my brothers would probably back up dumpster.
All right.
Let her go, boys.
All right, Dawn. Thanks for calling.
Thanks,
Dawn.
Thank
you very much. Bye-bye.
All right. A very important question, and our time's running out. But if a person has a bad reverse mortgage from the past, can they remortgage a new, better reverse mortgage now?
Absolutely. They absolutely can.
So why wouldn't they want to do that?
If they have the value. Again, now Dawn was unlucky enough that mom bought at the height in 2008, because, of course, a reverse mortgage is still an equity product.
Yeah.
So if you bought at the height of 2008, you might have a little problem with equity. But other than that, yes, redo your reverse mortgage.
Eunice in Bradenton, give me a call on my cell. I'm sorry I can't talk to you on the air. Wait about 10 minutes, call my cell, 727-667-1010. 727-667-3967. So, Eunice, anyone else wants to talk to me on the way home today? 727-667-3967. Mike, thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much.
Everybody, be safe this weekend. So long.